You are listening to a sermon from Mission Point St. John. We hope this message encourages a deeper connection between you and Jesus, our Savior.
Great to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Are you glad to be in God's house? Amen. I thank the Lord for what he did on Sunday. And we had two people baptized in Jesus' name and two received the baptism of the Holy Ghost on Sunday for the very first time. So we're excited about that. We thank God for what he's doing. And it looks like we may possibly have a couple more this Sunday be baptized. So we're excited about it. We're excited about what God is doing. Amen, in the church. Amen. God is growing his church. God's growing his church. Amen. So thank you for being faithful tonight. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 1. And we'll begin in John chapter 1. We're going to go through a number of scriptures tonight. But I want to talk to you about the Pentecostal experience. Amen. The Pentecostal experience. What we are part of is unlike anything else. There's nothing like the Pentecostal experience. Amen. There's nothing dull and boring about the Pentecostal experience. Amen. Everything's exciting. When someone's being baptized in Jesus' name and they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost instantaneously in the tank, it's an exciting moment. Isn't it, Vernon? Amen. I thank God for what he's doing. Amen. That was just this Sunday. Amen. The Pentecostal experience is what you and I are part of. Acts is the only connecting link between the Gospels and the Epistles. If you look at Matthew, it ends with Christ's resurrection. You can find that in Matthew chapter 28. Mark chapter 16 ends with Christ's ascension, where he ascends on high. Luke chapter 24 ends with the promise of the Holy Ghost. And John chapter 21 ends with the promise of his return. Amen. That's the Pentecostal experience. That Jesus died, was buried, resurrected, ascended. Amen. Filled us with his powerful spirit. And we're going to live with him. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about the Pentecostal experience. Amen. When you hear the word Pentecost, it simply means 50. It was held 50 days after the feast of the first fruits. And so you know that when you hear the word Pentecost, you hear of Passover and you hear of first fruits and you hear of Pentecost. And when that comes to the New Testament understanding and explanation, John picks it up and says, Jesus died as the Lamb of God. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What the Lamb couldn't do in the Old Testament, Jesus was able to accomplish. That's the Pentecostal experience. When you hear Pentecost, it's not just a denomination. It's not just a name that's on the church. Pentecost has its roots all the way back into the Old Testament. There was a Passover. A lamb was slain at the Passover. And John says, this is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Paul writes to the Corinthian church and says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. He gave us our Pentecost. Amen. Pentecost involved the first fruits. The first fruits was Jesus was the first of the harvest to rise from the dead. If you look at Paul's writing to the Corinthian church in chapter 15, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, they are Christ at his coming. The Old Testament example of first fruits was the start of that barley harvest where they waved that first sheaf of grain. Entire harvest belonged to the Lord. It was a representation that something powerful had happened in that harvest. Let me tell you, when Jesus went to the cross and he gave his life and resurrected from the dead, something supernatural happened in your Pentecost. The Pentecostal experience tonight is not just where we come together and have church together. No, the Pentecostal experience is when God raised you from a life of what it used to be to a life of what it now is. I'm glad to have the Pentecostal experience. If you say, well, Pastor, it's Wednesday. This is Sunday night. Our time, our change of services, we took Wednesday night this, and we made it Sunday night. We are Pentecostal. I'm not just Pentecostal on Sunday morning or at camp meeting or at some special services. No, he put a Pentecostal experience inside of me that when he rose from the dead, hallelujah, I have the ability, hallelujah, to be alive in him. That's my Pentecostal experience. He died as the lamb that took away my sin. He gave me the opportunity to offer up my first fruits to him. That Pentecostal experience, the formation of the church, it comprised of both Jews and Gentiles. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall, a partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Pentecost has given me myself as a new man. Oh, sometimes the old man wants to come out. Sometimes the old man wants to be resurrected. But because of Pentecost, hallelujah, behold, all things are become new. Old things have passed away and new things happened in your life because of Pentecost. It's not because of Mission Point. It's not because of the United Pentecostal Church in itself. It's because Jesus died. Jesus rose and Jesus has given you new life. That's the Pentecostal experience. I'm thankful for it. It was at Pentecost that God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, the tabernacle plan, the laws for the priesthood, the laws for the sacrifices. The Jews referred to this day as the birthday of Judaism. And after they arrived in the promised land, Pentecost marked the wheat harvest. It was a great time of rejoicing. It was Pentecost that the Lord had in mind when he gave Moses his message for Pharaoh. Notice what he said in Exodus chapter 5. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, so that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. It was at Pentecost that the nation of Israel was established as a church in the wilderness. Amen. The people were held hostage in bondage. And Moses was given instructions. Walk right into the enemy's courtroom and let him know that the people no longer belong to you. let my people go. We want to go and have our own feast. We want to go and have Pentecost. We want to go and represent the Passover. We want to go and represent the first fruits. We want to go and have a time of refreshing. Amen. Of Pentecost. And it was in this moment, amen, that Luke writes and he says, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. The Old Testament church was formed at Pentecost, and the New Testament church was formed at Pentecost. I have received a Pentecostal experience. Not a religion and not a denomination. Something happened to me. Hallelujah. When I allowed Jesus to come into my life and resurrect, amen, what was dead to sin. Something came alive and Pentecost happened in me. Oh, that great celebration in the wilderness as the people of Israel celebrated being free from bondage. Don't let it ever be, church, amen, that you don't celebrate being free from the world, free from the depths of sin, free from the hostage of the enemy. Don't let it be that you take your Pentecostal experience for granted. Ever. Pentecost in the Old Testament was the giving of the law by Moses. And Pentecost in the New Testament, He writes the law on our hearts by the Holy Ghost. See, the Old Testament Pentecost was 50 days from the waving of the sheath at first fruits. The New Testament Pentecost is 50 days from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Old Testament Pentecost was Mount Sinai. New Testament Pentecost is Mount Zion. Old Testament Pentecost is thunder and lightning. New Testament Pentecost is a rushing, mighty wind. Old Testament Pentecost was clouds of fire, but New Testament Pentecost is tongues of fire. Old Testament Pentecost, God speaks from heaven in a loud voice, but New Testament Pentecost, God speaks through his church in an everlasting pouring out of his spirit called the gift of the Holy Ghost. Old Testament Pentecost is fear and trembling, but New Testament Pentecost is conviction. Old Testament Pentecost is the oldness of the letter or the law, but in the New Testament Pentecost, it's the newness of spirit, the power of his grace. Old is condemnation, new is righteousness. Old was death, but new is administration of the Spirit. Don't allow yourself to lose the importance of your experience of Pentecost. Old Testament Pentecost was the glory of Moses' face. New Testament Pentecost is the glory in the face of Jesus. Old Testament Pentecost is the face was veiled for people that could not behold the glory. But New Testament Pentecost, the faces are unveiled, so we're changed into glory. Glory to be done away in the old, glory that remains in the new. Walking for Moses, waiting for Moses to return in the Old Testament Pentecost, we're waiting for Jesus to return in the New Testament Pentecost. They had a worship of a golden calf, but we worship Jesus. Amen. The 3,000 people were slain because of what they did, but in the New Testament, 3,000 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and that born again experience. The Old Testament was the Ten Commandments, and the New Testament, amen, the two commandments. The tables of stone, the fleshly tables of the heart. Something has happened to you because of Pentecost, and you can't lose when it reached a place where it was fully come. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, when it had arrived at everything that it had always done for about 3,000 years under the law. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Amen. The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Don't lose your Pentecostal experience. We got people living depressed and anxious and overwhelmed, stressed out. We got people under the weight of a day-to-day life, not knowing how they're going to get through the day or the week or the month. And if you're a child of God, that is a trick of the enemy for you to forget about your Pentecostal experience, because he brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. He allowed your life to be changed, that you don't have to put your worry in the things of this world. And you don't have to be anxious for tomorrow. And you don't have to be stressed out of what's going to come around the corner. You've got a Pentecostal experience. Amen. He changed your life. Greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. Don't let it be, oh, that's just a common scripture. We've heard it 1,000 times, Pastor. It's still true. It's still real. Pentecost that happened to you is still as significant as it was the day you received it. Don't lose your Pentecostal experience. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 9, 7 weeks shalt thou number unto thee. Begin to number the 7 weeks from such time as thou beginnest to put the sickle to the corn. That number 50 in Scripture always, always represents liberty and deliverance. That's seen in the year of Jubilee, where every 50th year in Israel, slaves were set free and debts were canceled and families were reunited and liberty was proclaimed throughout all the land by the Jubilee trumpets. Even the fields had rest. Priests were at liberty to cease from the tabernacle service at the age of 50. 50 had a very high significance. And Pentecost simply means 50. It means you can be liberated and set free. And delivered, and chains be gone, and addictions have to go. Loneliness can be filled, and peace can be realized. You can have something that fills your heart where it seems like something's missing. You don't have to live under the bondage of this world and the bondage of your past and the bondage of things of how you grew up and how things were delivered to you and said to you and what was done to you and how you were treated. You don't have to live underneath the bondage of all those things, because Pentecost, you can be free. You can be delivered. You can be, amen, everything God wants you to be because of your Pentecostal experience. Well, Pastor, I was born this way. I was born into this family. That's why Jesus said ye must be born again. Everything else will dictate your future. Everything else will hold back the promise and the fulfillment of God. But Pentecost brings liberty and freedom. Pentecost brings a different dynamic to you than you've ever experienced before. It's not just about attending this church. You can attend this church your whole life and not receive the Pentecostal experience. To me, that would be a tragedy. On the other hand, you only have to be in His presence one time, and you can receive the Pentecostal experience. Nothing is greater and more powerful than watching someone just decide, I'm going to give my heart to the Lord. I don't have it all figured out, and I surely don't know everything He wants to do. But God, whatever You desire to do, that's what I want. That's what I desire. And all of a sudden, one person's faith reaches out and touches Jesus, and instantaneously an experience happens in their life. And it's from that experience that their life is changed and transformed, and you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. No matter what the past has said. The Pentecostal experience is what changes you and I to be everything He wants us to be. Pentecost involved individual and collective sacrifice. If you look at the book of Acts, you'll see how the church started. The Bible says they met daily in chapter 2. They cared daily in chapter 6. They won souls daily in chapter 2. They searched the scriptures daily in chapter 17. They increased in number daily in chapter 16. You can't hardly find a chapter without prayer. There was something that happened to them in this Pentecostal experience that changed their life forever. They didn't become part of a new club. They didn't gain some type of a special membership. No, they had an experience that turned the world upside down. They had an experience that turned their families upside down. They had an experience that turned their life upside down. See, that wave offering that was presented on the day of Pentecost, it offers us a beautiful picture of the church. Such a beautiful picture. You'll notice that it's written about in Leviticus 23, verse 16. And even on the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals, and they shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. Chapter 23 and verse 20, and the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. They were to offer this meal offering that was baked with leaven. This ceremony was not fully understood by the Jews because it seemed to be a contradiction of the previous commandment of the Lord. The Passover leaven was absolutely forbidden to have any yeast whatsoever. They would be excommunicated. Nothing leavened could be offered with blood upon the altar. Leaven was always a type of sin and evil. But in this meal offering that was baked with leaven, it was a representation that it was offered to a sinless God. He had no sin, and we were the imperfect ones. And so even as leaven was a sign of or a type of sin or evil, what was happening with this wave offering was they were giving themselves that were imperfect over to a perfect God. Let me tell you, it hasn't changed. Nothing has changed. The Pentecostal experience is still a perfect God receiving imperfect people. Amen. Everybody that comes to Him, nobody deserves it. Nobody can earn it. No one can buy it. We can't do enough good to get it. Amen. You got a perfect God. You got a church full of imperfect people. But the Pentecostal experience gives us an opportunity that you don't have to qualify to attain. You come to Him and say, God, You're perfect, and I'm not perfect. And I want a Pentecostal experience that puts me on a pathway to be like You. Don't forget your Pentecostal experience. Well, Pastor, I'm struggling with temptation. I'm struggling with addiction. I'm struggling with my attitude. I'm struggling with this, that, or whatever. Amen. Just come to a perfect God. Hallelujah. As an imperfect person and say, here I am, God. Here, this is what I have to offer. I'm giving it to You because I want to be more like You. If you get good enough to get to God, it will never happen. But when you come to God, you get good enough. Something happens when you offer yourself just the way you are to a perfect God. He gives you His perfect love. He gives you His perfect grace. He gives you His perfect forgiveness, His perfect name, His perfect experience, spirit. He gives you a Pentecostal experience. Don't forget your Pentecostal experience. They were to offer two loaves, which the priest would wave before the Lord. The truth of the dual offerings is seen throughout the Levitical system. Two birds in the cleansing of the leper, two trumpets in the feast of the trumpets, two tables of stone for 10 commandments, two goats for the great day of atonement. On Pentecost, there was two ethnic divisions, Jews and Gentiles. And they were brought together. And they were baptized into the body by one Spirit. There was no separation any longer. Jews and Gentiles became one body in Christ Jesus. Everybody sitting in here tonight gets to have an opportunity for the Pentecostal experience. They were to bake the loaves using 2/10 of fine flour. The truth of the 2/10 deal is found in Israel on several significant occasions. They were to gather 2/10 of manna on the sixth day, double for the amount of the normal day to sustain them over the Sabbath. The 12 loaves of shewbread in the tabernacle were to be made of 2/10 deals of fine flour. The 10 commandments of the Old Testament were fulfilled in the 2 commandments of Jesus. It speaks of a double portion belonging to the New Testament believer. You just don't have to be what you've always been. The New Testament experience of Pentecost is you can be everything that God wants you to be. You don't have to settle. You don't have to be the status quo. You don't have to be the ordinary. You don't have to be mundane. You don't have to be complacent. None of those things. Amen. When you come in contact with the Pentecostal experience, you can be everything God wants you to be. Well, I was always told that I would never do this and I'd never do that. Doesn't matter what you were always told. When you come into the Pentecostal experience, you become His child. You become a child of the King. Hallelujah. He's written your name in the Lamb's book of life. Nobody is able to pluck you out of His hand. Hallelujah. The Pentecostal experience is not what it used to be for your life. Well, Pastor, you have no idea what's happened to me. That may be true, but it cannot cover, amen, a multitude of the new Pentecostal experience. The new Pentecostal experience comes into your life, and whatever has happened is gone. Somebody tonight needs to take a hold of the experience you have. The enemy would love for you to think that it's just the, the status quo ordinary religion for you. I'm here to tell you the exact opposite. There's nothing ordinary about a Pentecostal experience. There's nothing status quo about a Pentecostal experience. All hell can be breaking loose in your life today, and you can still lift your head, hallelujah, in victory because of the Pentecostal experience. Yeah. Yeah. God, I want everything you have for me. A double portion. Everything that belongs to me. I want to become everything that you see me being. Those two loaves, they were baked with fine flour. Wheat must be crushed and ground to become fine flour. This speaks of our trials, our temptations, and even sufferings. But you can endure all of those things because of your Pentecostal experience. You may have had a rough day today, but you can come into the house of the Lord and let your worship rise to the Almighty and your Pentecostal experience help you ride above your day. It was to be a new meal offering. This new meal offering speaks of the church with a new covenant, a new name, a new tongue. New heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. All things are made new. Something happens to you when you have a Pentecostal experience. Everything becomes new. Music, come. See, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 12. Says, thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and thou shalt observe and to do these statutes. The idea behind what had happened at the Passover was they would be reminded for 430 years they lived in bondage. But all of a sudden, one day, deliverance took place. He said, well, Pastor, I've been this way for 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. That may be the case. But when Pentecost is involved, deliverance is inevitable. God can set you free and keep you free. Pentecost can be fully come. The simple definition of that is fulfilled. Pentecost can be fulfilled any time where God's people desire to get together with Him. Where one, two, three, doesn't matter, are gathered in His name, there is He in the midst of them. If it's just you, there's two, you and God. That's why the scripture says, where two or three I gather together. You don't need anyone else to have the Pentecostal experience tonight. Just you and God. Say, God, I haven't been free. I haven't been liberated. I've been living under this cloud. Or I've been living under this weight. I've been living under this oppression. And then one moment with a Pentecostal experience and you can be free. Please understand that if you've received the Pentecostal experience, it wasn't just a cool day where something special happened to you. It was much more than that. Way much more than that. When God filled you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, something supernatural happened in your life that day. If you haven't received the Holy Ghost before, you can receive it tonight. a supernatural event can happen in your life tonight. It's called the Pentecostal experience. And we have a lot of people that live lower than's necessary. Well, Pastor, what church do you go to? Well, I go to Mission Point, the Pentecostal church. That's nice. That's nice and dandy. Is that your picture we see on the sign? Yeah. Great conversation pieces. And all of that is nice conversation pieces. But what becomes greater is when I express that in March of 1976, God filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost for the very first time. And I wouldn't want to live one day without it. Not one day. I'm thankful for the outpouring of His Spirit that happened when I received a Pentecostal experience for the very first time. That's what changed my life. That's before I ever knew what a Pentecostal denomination was. I didn't know brands and I didn't know none of that stuff. Amen. None of that stuff to a five-year-old man, anything. All I knew is I received a Pentecostal experience. And when that happened in my life, it changed my life forever. And it allowed me to become what I am today. And I refuse to ignore my Pentecostal experience. That's what will give you the authority to pray for someone right on the spot. It's not just your personality. There's a lot of bold people in the world. So it's not just your personality. No, what makes the difference is your Pentecostal experience. If He can do it for me, He can do it for them. If He can do it for me, He can do it for you. That's the understanding of what you have received. And when we get a hold of that experience, it won't matter when, where, what, how many, none of those things will matter, because what happened to you is so real. Pastor, you're making it sound. Hey, listen, if it doesn't sound like that in your life tonight, you got to come and get a renewal of your Pentecostal experience. Because when you wake up in the morning and you roll out of bed and you go about your day, you have no idea how that Pentecostal experience is going to affect somebody's life. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you resurrected. I get to offer you myself just the way I am, to receive deliverance and to receive liberty into my life. That's when Pentecost was fully come. Would you stand tonight? Say, Pastor, I worked all day. I'm tired. Got a full day ahead of me tomorrow, Pastor. I have plans to go out to eat after church. Wednesday night, Pastor. Would you just give everything you got for the next 10 or 15 minutes and just enjoy your Pentecostal experience? Would you just fill this altar? Amen. On a Wednesday night, would you just fill this altar? That means now, everybody. Would you just fill this altar right now on a Wednesday night, thanking God, hallelujah, for what he's done in your life, what he's continuing to do, amen, how he's got you covered, hallelujah, how he's leading you and directing you and guiding you on a daily basis, how he's using you for his glory and the expansion of his kingdom.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information, connect with us on our website at missionpoint.ca. God bless you.